AM. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm David Burt, sitting in for Jim Russ. He'll be back in the saddle good. If Jim's were listening this morning, hope you feel better, Jim. And I'm tired of wearing your clothes, by the way. My name is David Burt, and it's always good to be with the doc. Doc, it's Saturday. That means it's time for Tech Talk.
It's time for Tech Talk.
You have that big smile on your face, which means you've been up to no good.
We've been up to no good. We've been working up in Baltimore. Working, we, of course, 3 years ago, we went up there when we went over and transitioned programs from the Baltimore International College, and then Stratford University set up a culinary campus there.
Wow.
Now we're working with the Sojourner Douglas College to do the same thing.
It's okay to brag. It's your show.
And
that's good news, by the way, because I thought you were Virginia-centric, but that's not true.
No, we're also in India.
Oh, that's right. There is a big stretch there.
Yeah, we're also in India and going to a few other countries. We're trying to expand, trying to actually bring education to wherever we can make a difference.
And the Maryland people are glad to have you over here.
Yes, they are.
All right, Doc, where are we going?
And it was a huge, huge mailbag this
week.
There's
a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a couple of letters in your mailbox.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, these are heavy letters. These are heavy electronics.
They're very heavy. A lot of ink on the print, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We got an email from Ian in Greenbelt.
Oh.
Dear Doc and Jim, I have both an iPhone and an iPad. Is it possible to answer and make iPhone calls using my iPad?
Can a novice do it? Now, I know that you're the supreme leader.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But can I just represent the audience and talk to you and say, I think you can do that if you buy a plan. Is that possible? Or can you do it without doing that?
You can do it without doing that.
That's why we're here, Doc.
You don't even need a plan.
Okay, I love this.
What you do, in fact, your iPad doesn't even have to have any 3G connection. But you have to be on the same Wi-Fi network as your iPhone.
Okay, got it.
See, it's on the Wi-Fi network. And so there's something called Continuity. It's a program called Continuity on iOS 8. And you can make and receive phone calls on your iPad. So I activated Continuity on my iPad and my iPhone. So now when my iPhone rings, my iPad also rings.
Well, forgive me, Doc. Once again, I'm representing the audience here.
Yeah.
You make this sound like child's play, and it probably is to you. When you say you do the Continuity, how do you do that? What does that mean?
Well, you just simply go to settings on the iPad.
Okay.
And then on settings in the iPad, you go to FaceTime. And when you click on FaceTime, you've got two choices. It says iPhone Cellular in the on position.
Okay.
And that allows you then to make a phone call through your iPhone from your iPad.
That is pure genius,
isn't
Doc.
That's all you do?
Guys like me, Doc, you know, we need you to explain this because I did not know until about a month ago. I bought a mini pad.
Yeah.
And I went to AT&T, sorry for the plug.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to buy a plan for this. And the guy says, you don't need a plan for this. Just use your hotspot on your phone.
Use the hotspot. That's exactly what I do.
I use
the hotspot on my phone. You don't need to get the 3G iPad. Yeah. Get the cheap one that's just Wi-Fi.
Cheap. That's what I did. And I love that. Now, the continuity thing is really a bonus.
Because you're sitting there, you know, your phone's upstairs, you got your iPad down here, your phone rings. So you can just answer your iPad and just talk. And you don't have to do FaceTime.
You know, Doc, forget everything. It was worth it for the drive down here from Upper Maryland just to hear that tip because it's really going to save me some dough.
It's going to be a really good thing.
And I'm not your bootlacky shill here. I really mean that.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
That's good. And the thing is, but make certain that you don't answer in the FaceTime mode because you always don't want to have that camera come on.
Oh, that's true.
You know, so just be certain. So you don't have to answer it in FaceTime. You can just answer it as a regular phone call. That's kind of an important factor there. We got an email from Peggy.
Oh.
Dear Dr. Schertz, I'd be grateful if you'd address Google's entree into the cellular service plans. When's it coming? It can't come soon enough. I assume you have Verizon. Wondering if you have an opinion about T-Mobile. I already own an iPhone 5. When will Google's offering be available? And, you know, what can I do with that? Thanks, Mary. Well, Mary, look, you don't. It's going to be a while before Google really is going to provide cell phone service here. But you have your own iPhone, so you want to buy a program which without a contract. You see, what these cell phone companies do, when you get a contract, say for 2 years, they add $20 a month as a payment for your new iPhone. Mm-hmm. So over 2 years, which is 24 months, you pay $480 extra.
Ooh.
And then when you pay the extra $100 for the new one, you've actually paid $580 for the new iPhone. So, and if you don't get a new iPhone, you've still paid an extra $20 every month. It's just baked in the plan.
Wait,
so they force you to buy a new iPhone every 2 years.
Okay, wait a minute. What if you bought the phone just outright?
And you're still
going to get the 20 every month, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Unless you get one of the plans, which is no contract.
Oh, okay.
See, the contract, they bake in the $20 and they tell you, oh, we're giving you really a good deal. Mm. You pay $100 and we'll give you a $600 iPhone. Well, you've already paid $500.
Right.
So, and then people delay getting it. They're still paying $20 a month. So if you get a plan without a contract,
right,
where they don't package it in, it's cheaper.
Wow.
And so T-Mobile was the first company that came out with the contract-less plan, and now AT&T and Verizon are following. But they don't want to talk about it because they're trying to push this whole
thing. Why is it that the cell phone companies, AT&T and the rest of the crew, they'll never tell you about the deals? You've got to walk in and say...
They won't tell you about the deals
at
all.
No, ever.
Now, you can buy AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon through a reseller and get it even cheaper. They resell their networks, and you can get even cheaper.
Really?
So if you go to Walmart, they've got this Straight Talk plan.
Right.
They're just a reseller for Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile.
So if you're with AT&T, you've been with them forever, and you go to Walmart, it's going to be seamless.
No, you just tell them, I'm going to use the AT&T. Well, you have to have paid for your phone already.
Right.
So you wait. If you're on a contract, you have to wait the 2 years, pay for the phone.
Right.
So they'll and then you own the phone. Then you can go to Walmart and say, look, I want to pay $35 a month, for the AT&T network or you get the Verizon network or the T-Mobile network, and it's cheap.
But wait a minute. Does that include all you can talk, all you can drink package, meaning texting, talking, data?
Yeah. It's all about data because it's basically all you can talk and all you can text.
Yeah.
And then the
they give you that.
And the data is probably two gigabytes per month.
Okay.
So the fact is I don't use that much data because I'm on Wi-Fi so much. You
yes.
see? So when you're on Wi-Fi, you're not using data.
Right.
And I don't watch movies when I'm driving.
I don't either.
Actually, I don't watch movies on my phone at all.
No, not when you're driving.
Not when,
let's
certainly
get that clear.
Not when I'm driving. And so if you're really interested into a budget plan, you want to, and you own this, you want to get a plan without a contract. Since you've got an iPhone 5, you want to go to T-Mobile. That's GSM. Mm-hmm. Which is the SIM card kind of system.
Right.
So you've got to make certain that your phone supports a SIM card, which I'm certain the iPhone 5 would, even if it's a Verizon phone, because
yes.
it has both.
It does.
So, Mary, it sounds to me like you're after the budget plan. So I'd try Walmart. And if you really don't need super high speed, you just buy the 3G network instead of the 4G network, and it's even cheaper. So if you're just using it for
checking on the kids,
just emails and that sort of stuff, you really don't need 4G. And so it's even cheaper yet. The beauty of the Walmart plan, if you don't like it, after one, you just cancel it because you just pay it by the month.
So, Doc, are you telling us that the whenever you go to one of the carriers, they'll say, well, you want the iPhone plan? Because they have the iPhone plan as well as the other stuff. That's in specific for iPhones. I think that's just their way of saying we're going to charge you more. Make it
sound they're going to charge more. So I would get a plan, sort of bring your own phone plan, you see. And
I like that.
You just bring your own phone. And so then that way you don't have to upgrade every 2 years. You upgrade when you feel like it.
Wow.
That's it. Sorry, I got
Let's
off on that.
Let's pause for one second, Doc.
Okay.
For folks who may have just joined us, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio here on Federal News Radio. Your host and our supreme leader here, Dr. Richard Schertz, CEO, and you're the man over at Stratford University. It's a worldwide institution now. Is it safe to say that?
Well, it's...
Or kind of keep that on the low
key? Yeah, we're keeping that on the low key. So now we've got an email from Mary. Dr. Schertz, I downloaded this before, and tried to install it on my iMac. I want to actually convert PDF document to Word. Is this safe to install? Thanks, your Saturday morning fan club.
Very nice.
Well, Mary, I looked at, you know, I looked at the screenshot you sent me. I can't tell whether that's safe or not. I do know that when you go and try to download free software, you really want to validate the source where the software comes from, because that is where you pick up malware.
Yes.
A lot of people, they'll package malware with free software, and then you search for it, and you go to the website, and you download the free software along with a little surprise.
Malware is kind of like high-tech antibodies that are...
Yeah, that's right. And so you don't want to do that. So I couldn't tell where you got that from in particular. What you want to do is you can search for PDF to Word converter free, and then you can go through all the whole list, and you'll see some that are highly rated, and that is one possibility. Now, my recommendation is don't download anything and install it. Go to one of these online services where you just upload the document and it converts it for you. You don't even install anything. So the one that I just did this morning, and it did a pretty nice job, pdfonline.com. pdfonline.com and slash PDF to Word converter. The link will be in the Tech Talk show outline that we'll post on Monday. So you just simply go to pdfonline.com and you upload the PDF document you want to convert. It converts it to Word, and it opens up another window, and you just copy that Word document and paste it into your Word application. You got it.
Doc, it was just converted in a snap.
You
got a good night's sleep, I can tell. Last night.
I did.
I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I do have to ask you a question, because her email jogged this on my memory.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are getting spam. We all get spam, some more than others. But there's one specific spam where it looks like it's legitimate, but everything is in Chinese characters below it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this? You get this kind of stuff?
I get some. If it's Chinese, I just delete it.
I just delete it. I don't even open it up. If I see Chinese, I go, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Anything
here
that's Chinese. And and if you get any of these phishing things where they're like, it looks like they want you to log into your bank account or log into your email account. Nobody asks you to log in by email, so I just delete all those.
Okay.
But
Thank you.
Lot of people actually fall for them. They work. They work, you know, like one out of 20 works.
And that's all they're looking for.
That's
just one hit.
We got an email from Nock in Ohio. Nock is one of our regular listeners on Tech Talk. She listens to the podcast up there in Ohio. Dear Doc and Jim, in the last 6 months, I've had to cancel my credit card 3 times due to fraudulent activities. Mm. I frequently shop online. I've got Windows 7, got a firewall, I use all, but I only go to reliable sites for e-commerce, and I don't let them save my credit card information. I'm always checking for secure connections, HTTPS, etc., and I watch whenever I use my credit card, but what's going on here? Well, first of all, I would think you may have some malware on your computer since it's happened so often. And what they do is this malware just looks around for, you know, credit card information, and then it sends it to some local site. And a lot of the malware is masked, so the frequent malware searches can't find it. I kind of like this Malware Bytes anti-malware. It's free. Malware Bytes, B-Y-T-E-S, anti-malware. It's got a reputation for catching a lot of things that the other tools don't. And make certain that all your anti-malware is up to date, that you're running the most recent versions, you've got the most recent database, et cetera, et cetera. Now, make certain that all the machines on the network don't have any malware. Like if you got all your machines hooked into the same Wi-Fi network, and you've got a machine on the network which has a malware, it's not behind the firewall, and it could infect your machine. So you got to make certain that all the machines at home that are on the network are malware-free. So I'd run that Malware Bytes. Now, you know, you want to watch your credit card when you go out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because your waiter could actually skim it. They could
go to Nordstrom's.
Yeah, they could. You know, could have all kinds of problems with it. There are also skimmers on bank machines and on gas station pumps. They actually put the skimmer in front of the slot, and you have to know what to look for. But if it's, and then what they do, they just put the skimmer there, and it's in addition to processing your credit card, by the gas pump, they're skimming the data right off of it.
Lovely.
And then after a few days, they come up, pick up the skimmer, and they got all the data. So you kind of have to watch for those skimmers. And if they're installed on these things, you can see a difference. You got to look for this. Now, also, be careful when you're using a public computer at a hotel.
Oh.
Because they are loaded with malware.
Right.
For, I mean, we had somebody at Stratford. They checked into a hotel, and they checked their email at a hotel computer. The next day, their email account was compromised.
Oh, boy.
Just the next day. So a lot of the hotels, every night when they turn off the machine and turn the back, reboot them, they actually install a fresh image of the disk. So that gets rid of that problem. And more hotels are doing that. So I'd ask the hotel whether they do that, and then you might just reboot the machine, and then you know you've got a clean version. And the other thing that we do is we do that with all of our libraries at school. And then the last thing is that you might have your there might be a database might be compromised, you know, that you're using, you might go into Target or something,
right.
And so they could get that information. But these are all of the things that you could think about, and but it's good to be mindful of these
items.
Very
nicely done, Doc. You're listening to Dr. Richard Schertz. He's the host of Tech Talk. My name is David Byrd. I'm sitting in for Jim Russ. He's a little under the weather. He'll be back in the saddle here real soon. Jim, if you're listening, get better and leave the oysters alone. Now, we've got a lot of show. What's coming up next, Doc?
We're going to have a couple more emails, and then after that, we're going to get to the profiles in IT.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to feature Michael Stonebreaker. Michael Stonebreaker is widely regarded as the father of big data.
Big data.
Big data. These are these humongous databases.
And why does he have that name, Doc?
Because he worked on implementing some of the theoretical concepts on databases that were developed by Edward Codd, and he was able to build scalable systems that actually allow you to handle huge databases with very fast transactions. He received a bachelor of, he was born actually in Milton, New Hampshire, October 11th, 1943. He received a bachelor of science from Princeton University in 65, and he got a master's in 1967 and a PhD in 1971 from the University of Michigan. After he got his PhD from Michigan, he joined the University of California at Berkeley as an assistant professor. It's there that he did his pioneering work on relational databases, based on the work of Edward Codd. Relational databases are a more efficient way to store data. In 1980, Stonebreaker founded Ingress. Now, Ingress stands for Interactive Graphics and Retrieval System. It was his first application of the theoretical work of Edward Codd. He founded the company Ingress. And that Ingress Corporation actually implemented this database system on a Unix computer. Unix, of course, was commonly used mainframe in all of the university campuses.
I haven't heard Unix mentioned in so long. When you just mentioned, I said, "Wow, it's been a long time since I heard Unix."
Unix. So he was a Unix guy, and so he developed his Ingress on Unix. At the same time, there was this other guy who applied Edward Codd's database theory and created a database that would run on the DEC mini computer. And that guy was called Larry Ellison.
Oh, yes, Larry.
He started Oracle. So Larry Ellison and Michael Stonebreaker were immediately at odds with each other. So Michael is this university theorist, and Larry Ellison is this showboat salesman. So you can imagine who won.
Mr. Showboat?
Mr. Showboat. Yeah. Oracle just crushed them. They just crushed them.
Yeah.
Not necessarily it was better technology. It was just better marketed technology. So Ingress, did not really grow as it did. And they sold out to Computer Associates in 1994. Computer Associates picks up all of these companies that have failed at bargain basement prices. That's what they do. Computer Associates picked them up in 94. So Stonebreaker went on because Egress was his first one. So then he went on to develop a database system which was after Egress. So he called it Postgres,
yeah.
which was that introduced an object relational model. Because remember, we went to object-oriented kind of program, so he wanted an object relational model where he could merge databases with abstract data types while still keeping the database separate from the programming language. This was actually the great great development of Edward Codd. It used to be in the old days, you would combine the data with the programming language, and you'd mix the two together. And Edward Codd said, no, we want to keep the data over here, and we want to have a programming language that actually accesses the data and uses it, but you keep them separate. So he was able to do that as an object-oriented database with Postgres. And he implemented Postgres commercially as Montage, and that was renamed as Illustra. Now, this was bought by Informix and later renamed Informix Universal Server. Now, what Michael Stonebreaker did, he liked to release all of his stuff to open source software movement because he felt he wanted to give back to the community. So just as you would expect, Oracle shamelessly copied all of the Informix Universal Server. And Larry Ellison did his sales job again. And he just crushed them. So that's why,
How did he get away with copying? How did he get away with copying their stuff?
It was open source.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. It was open source. So you sort of see, like, Larry Ellison is the salesman, and Michael Stonebreaker is sort of the theoretician and the computer professor in the background.
Right.
Who's not necessarily after money. He's after for advancing the technology.
He sounds like the Carl Icahn of technology.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit. That's right.
And so he actually was there, still at Berkeley as a professor when he was starting these two companies. Then in 2001, he moved east, and he became an adjunct professor at the MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab, so-called CSAIL. And he also co-founded and co-directed the Intel Science and Technology Center for Big Data, which was co-located at MIT. So then he started a series of new projects. His first project was the Aurora project. He focused on data management for streaming data, and he came up with a new data model and query language. And then he co-founded Stream-Based Systems to commercialize it. They wanted to find a way to basically access data faster as a data stream. And in 2005, he developed a column-oriented database. He stored the data in columns instead of in rows. See, it used to be in rows. They stored in rows, so every record corresponded to a row, and the rows had different fields in it. So he stored it in columns, and it turned out if he stored it in columns, he was able to perform input-output more quickly. He could get better compression ratios. So he developed a database method called CStore, and he co-founded Vertica to commercialize the technology because, columns are vertical, so he called it Vertica. Then in 2000, he commercialized this using the Morpheus Data Integration System. In 2007, he started a new project called Morpheus. Now, this was a data integration. See, one of the problems is you got all these different databases, and how can you bring them together? So he developed the data integration system that would create transforms that would mediate between different data sources.
Now, Doc, forgive me, you're on a roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would use this application? Would it be police forces, FBI, where they would go to multiple databases?
So you'd have a lot of legacy data systems,
right.
And then but you don't want to write a query for each one of these systems. You want to have some master query that actually talks to all these data systems. You want to mediate between, you want to talk to all of them,
right.
Even though they're different data structures.
Right.
So he found a way to bring them all together under a common data umbrella, which was easier to use. And so that was very good. So he started a company called Gobi, and it was based on ideas from Morpheus that allowed people to explore.
He had
new
to have
things.
Made a lot of money with that application.
I think he made money. He just didn't become obscenely rich like Larry Ellison. I think
right.
he made plenty of money along
right.
the way because, you know, he started and sold probably eight companies. Then he started in 2008 a scientific database company for scientific research applications. And in 2013, he co-founded Tamr, which was a Tame the Data application, which would tackle the challenging problem of connecting and enriching diverse data in a way that would scale quickly and cost effectively. So companies could actually build database applications quickly that would scale. So he actually worked on a lot of the theoretical underpinnings that were behind databases and big data and efficient storage of data. And the reason I featured him was that in March of 2015, it was announced that he'll be awarded the 2014 Turing Award for fundamental contributions to the concepts of practices underlying modern database systems. Now, the Turing Award is like the Nobel Prize to computer science people. It is a big deal.
Because it's named after
Turing, yeah. He's the man that came up with the basic theoretical construct for a computer, Turing. And so Michael Stonebraker has been rewarded for all of his work and all of his contributions. So the interesting thing, he sort of stayed the pathway between staying a professor and starting businesses. He started 9 businesses, but he always was drawn back to academia to do more research and more theoretical work, which I think is why he really couldn't compete with Larry Ellison, who was just the showboat guy who just wanted to build a big company.
Yeah.
And Larry Ellison is certainly not going to go back and be a professor.
No.
So there you go. Michael Stonebraker, the man who's widely regarded as the father of big data.
He is the father of big data. Let's go back just for a second, if we can, because Alan Turing,
yes,
the father, the actual inventor of the computer, not the personal computer, but the computer, because I'm sure you saw The Imitation Game.
Yes.
The Imitation with the story. It's his story,
mm-hmm.
How during World War II he created the first computer to bust the Enigma code.
He did. He worked on the, he basically developed the first programmable computer that could actually go after the Enigma code. That's right. He was working in a highly classified project, and he developed the Turing test. In other words, how do you test whether a computer is, the Turing test, whether it really is a computational computer.
Yeah.
And what kind of things can be computed? So he actually was one of the founding fathers of computer technology.
And he was given a hard time because he took a long time to develop this. Now I'm only getting this from the movie, and the movie is very accurate. Had to have seen the movie, Doc.
I don't know if I saw. You're kidding me.
No,
I don't know
really?
If I saw the movie. I just read about him.
Doc, be it far from me to assign you homework.
Okay,
but I would go see that movie if I were you, knowing that you're the king of tech talk. That's a fascinating movie. It was more than I bargained for. I thought it was a World War II movie, and I learned so much more about that as well. Doc, we got to take a quick pause here, but can you do a promo? Just tease them about the product. It's just a tease.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the Amazon Echo, which is like having Hal, from the movie 2001, in your kitchen.
And that's coming up soon, so don't you dare go anywhere. You're listening to Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment. Change your life.
Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Master's in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
No pressure.
Welcome back to the classroom of the airways. You might have thought this was a radio show, but no, this is a classroom of the airways. And if it's a class, there has to be a test. So we're going to assess whether you've been listening to the show up to this point. And if you get the right answer to this pop quiz, you win two tickets to fine dine at the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room at Stratford University.
And I've been to one of those, and they're quite delicious. I didn't need dental floss.
That's how good it was. Excellent.
That's very good.
So earlier in the show, we talked about Michael Stonebreaker. He was widely regarded as the father of big data. And his first big database initiative was called Ingress, Interactive Computer Graphics and Retrieval System. Ingress was written for a particular type of machine, particular type of computer. What computer was it written for?
Piece of cake.
Yes, indeed. So if you get the right answer, you win two tickets to fine dine at the Escoffier Dining Room. Now, how can they reach us, Dave?
That's a very good question,
Doc. That's right.
I think I have the phone number here.
Because you are the professional, and actually,
yes.
I'm just the amateur sitting in here.
Yes, I am the professional, and I'm waiting for the producer. 936-933.
No.
Start over. 877. Okay.
We're getting this thing now.
877. Go ahead. 936-9333. All right. Sorry about that, Doc. I feel like I just somebody opened the bathroom stall on me. 877-936-9333. Good luck to everybody.
That's right. Now, listen, if you're calling from Mongolia, you can connect to us using Skype. You simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and that will be forwarded to the studio free of charge.
Excellent, Doc. So very nicely done.
So let's, while we're waiting for somebody to call in to tell us what machine the Ingress database system was written for, we'll start talking about the Amazon Echo.
You want to start that now?
Really? Oh, no. Let's talk about the Apple Watch pre-order that's going to start April 10th.
What is that all about? Doc, can I whine just for a second?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's not the fact that they've got a $10,000 version of this, because I'm sure there's a cheaper version.
Mm-hmm.
But why do I need this? Because I've got the Mini. I got the iPhone. If you have this, does it do everything your iPhone does? Can you talk into your wrist like Dick Tracy?
What they have said is that it will change the way you interact with your iPhone. The iPhone, have you noticed it's so intrusive?
Right.
You know, people are always looking at it. It's always popping and ringing, and notifications, emails come up. So constantly it's a distraction. So they say just put your iPhone away, and then you have very limited notifications that come to your wrist. And so
that's the selling point for this? Really?
That is one of the selling points in it, that you will interact with it. And then they have also built into the unit various health monitors, which is what they wanted to have initially, your blood pressure and other things like that. So that's what they want. Well, the pre-order, this is the thing, Dave. The pre-orders are going to start at 12 midnight on 12:01 a.m. on April 10th.
These are orders, not go to get
pre-orders. Now, this is Pacific time. So if you're on the East Coast on Eastern Standard Time, that means it's going to open up at 3 a.m. April 10th here. Ooh. So if you want to pre-order on the East Coast, mm-hmm. you're going to have to stay up until 3 a.m. and be at the morning of 3 a.m. of April 10th.
How much dough do I need, Doc?
To do this? Well, I think you can get one for as low as, you know, a few $100s.
Oh,
or you can go all the way up to, you know, the $20,000.
The few $100 version just tells you the time, I'm
the
sure.
The few $100 one, yeah.
Okay,
and
great.
So Apple is opening up at midnight because they think there's going to be such a huge crunch for pre-orders that they're afraid that it's going to shut down their website. So if we open it up at midnight,
wow,
probably, you know, we can smooth out the traffic.
Doc, if you don't mind, can you take a pause for a second?
Yes.
Let's say hello, if we can, to none other than Scott from Frederick. Let's go. No pressure here. There we go.
Scott? No pressure, huh?
Oh, yeah. So, Scott, we're talking about Michael Stonebreaker, and he wrote his first, the database system was Ingress. What computer system was that written for?
He wrote it for Unix.
That is correct. You win two tickets to Fine Dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. Just stay on the line and give your name and number and address to Andrew, the Vice President of Prize Distribution.
I've eaten there, Scott, and you're gonna love it. Okay, so hang on, and thanks for calling. All right, Andrew, he's all yours. Let me just put him on hold again. There we go. That was very nicely, Doc. That was such an easy question. That was a softball.
Well, it was a softball.
And I hate to interrupt the Apple wristwatch. Deal,
I'm done with the Apple
you're
wristwatch.
Done with that one?
Yeah.
Okay, you're done. If we can, let's just do one more piece of business. We'll come back, and then we won't be interrupted. Tease them one more time.
Oh, yeah.
The Doc told me we were going to talk
later,
about this.
Later in the show, we're going to be talking about Amazon Echo. That's like having Hal from 2001 right in your kitchen.
This is so good.
Only she's not Al, she's Alexa.
Yeah,
Alexa. And I've been talking to Alexa all week, and she just loves to respond to every word that I have.
This is worth waiting for. It's coming up next on Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment. What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And this week, I received my own Amazon Echo.
Doc, I've been waiting all morning to get to this because I tell you what, you know, some of your stuff is so deep for me, I need a translator. But this... When you told me, the first thing out of my mouth was, how much is this? Because I'm going to go drive and get it today. Because that's how juicy sounding this is. Go ahead, Doc.
This is Amazon's latest gadget. It's very futuristic. It's speaker. It's one part speaker and one part personal voice assistant. Now, you have to be invited to even order it from Amazon. So 3 months ago, I requested an invitation.
And, of course, you got it.
After about 2 weeks, I didn't get it that fast. Then after I received the invitation, I ordered it, and I'm a Prime member. So if you're a Prime member,
right,
which means you get the free shipping, it's $199. If you are not a Prime member, I don't know, if you're a Prime member, it's $99.
Sure.
If you're not a Prime member, it's $199.
Okay.
So, but you really need to be a Prime member to use it because it accesses all the free Prime music. So you don't, if you're not a Prime member, you got to provide all your own music,
where's the payoff for this, Doc?
This is the thing. This actually Echo, you can talk to it, and it does things. Like it will play music. It will give you the news. You can ask it questions. It will look stuff up on the internet. It will define words for you. It's got a shopping list. You can add things to your shopping list, and it just adds them to the shopping list, and then your shopping list shows up in your iPhone.
Wow.
You know, so you don't have to write anything. Just walk by, you say, oh, would you add eggs to my shopping list? And it'll add them to your shopping list. Then I go to the Echo application on my iPhone, and there's my shopping list. You don't have to write anything down.
This is a HAL 9000 right on your phone.
It is just like HAL. It's a black cylinder. It's 9 1/4 inches tall. It's around 3.5 inches in diameter, and it's got great speakers in it. So I can go up and the voice assistant is called Alexa.
Mm.
So I say, Alexa, would you play easy listening music?
Yeah.
And she just picks easy listening music and just starts playing it.
Of course, you want to hear American Gigolo from James Last.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Or I could say, you know, or I could pick an artist, and she'll just play that artist. And so she just looks up. The music comes right out of the Prime or any, or it will actually tap into my iTunes account if you want to just use all your iTunes music. And you can, and then you can say, Alexa, what's the weather?
Really?
And Alexa will give you the weather forecast for the day.
Right.
You could say, Alexa, what's the definition of chlorophyll?
Wow.
And she'll give it to me.
Can I just set up an application for this? You have a date over. You're making her dinner,
mm-hmm.
and you ask Alexa, what do you think goes well with fettuccine Alfredo? They'll answer that. Also, could you play some George Benson music while we're
having
dinner?
Yeah, she would do that for you.
How long of a drive will it be from here to Bethesda?
She'll give you distances. It's amazing, and she'll even tell you jokes.
Really?
You say, Alexa, tell me a joke, and then she'll come back and she, like, you know, I asked her this morning, and she said the joke she gave me. She says, "What do you call a fake noodle?"
Uh oh.
Impasta.
Wow, that's good stuff.
That's her joke.
That's good stuff. Wow.
And
even
so,
the producer, Andy, loves that. That's
and so the
stuff,
thing
buddy.
Is, here's the only, if there's somebody in the house whose name is Alexa, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So you can change the name of the voice assistant to Amazon if there's an Alexa living in the house.
That's nice.
The thing that's amazing, I can tell Alexa, I say, like I'm playing music, I say, Alexa, volume 7. And she'll adjust the volume. Alexa, volume 5. Or if she's playing a song from Prime that I don't like, I say, play the next song, and she'll go to the next song. You just talk to her, and the voice recognition is unbelievably accurate. I can be in the next room and call. I say, hey, Alexa, turn on the music, and she'll turn on the music.
Can Alexa check the temperature of your refrigerator?
No, she can't do that
yet.
Okay,
just check. I'm finding out the possibility.
And the beauty is I can say, Alexa, please stop talking, and she stops. Boom. Nothing.
Wow.
I love that. I've been...
There's so many one-liners to go with that, Doc. I'm skipping them all. Go
like,
ahead.
For instance, I wanted to listen to Federal News Radio. I said, Alexa, I'd like to listen to Federal News Radio. So she went to the tune-in application and started playing Federal News Radio with only a 5-second delay.
Wow.
Then I said, then I said, play WMAL, which is on iHeartRadio. She knew that it was on iHeartRadio. So she went to another radio station and played it on iHeart. She knows where these stations are.
That's crazy.
Or I put in my password to Pandora.
Right.
So she has access to the playlist on Pandora. And so she just plays my Pandora account right.
I don't care if I have to pay the full price, Doc. I'm getting one of these.
It is fantastic.
Honestly,
I love this
at your home?
Yeah, I've got it. I got it sitting in the kitchen.
That's crazy. No, well, let's just get specific here. If you have the piece of whatever, it's a piece.
Yeah.
But you have to be within shouting range of
that's
it.
That's the picture of it right there.
Wow.
That's what it looks like. It's a little cylinder. It's like 9 inches tall. Well, yeah, you have to be now I have the application on my iPhone.
Right.
So I can be upstairs and I can have her start playing from my iPhone even though I'm upstairs.
Oh man. Isn't technology great?
It is. I've just been playing with this thing all week.
And what's the Mrs.
I really
think about
like
this?
It.
What does Mrs. Wonderful think about your playing with this
Okay, well, this is the thing.
There we go.
I trained it on my voice.
Oh, there we go. All right. So she can't override?
No, well, she can. It will listen to her, but not quite as well as Alexa really listens to me.
Loves.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, but Marianne, it doesn't listen to her quite as well, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
But the voice recognition quality is unbelievably accurate. And like I might come to a word and I just and she'll define the word for me. Or I'll tell her to look something up. If she can't give me the answer, she says, I can't give you the answer, but I'm sending you a link to your iPhone. So I open up the application, the Echo application on my iPhone, and the link is there, and I click on it and I can look at it. So she just sends it right to my iPhone. Now if I have I can have a Bluetooth application, I can also connect my iPhone by Bluetooth to Echo. And suppose I want to play Spotify, which is an application on my iPhone.
Right.
It will actually play Spotify through the Bluetooth connection, and I can talk to Alexa, and it controls Spotify on my iPhone through the Bluetooth connection.
You know, Doc, if I was a parent and I had four children or just one child, I would have to get one of these to help out with homework. Would that help with homework?
Yeah, I think it could help. It could help with homework. Now, the disadvantage, it doesn't have a battery, so it's got to be plugged in.
Right.
So you can't, like, carry it around the house, which I think is a...
Well, you can as long as it's a plug.
Yeah, but, you know, you unplug it, and then it's got to resync with the Wi-Fi that takes about 10 seconds. So it's takes about 10 seconds to come back up
again.
But
for your own HAL 9000 computer, this would be worth it.
That's right. It would be worth it. So if you really wanted it around the house, you could have these Echoes all over the house.
Right.
See, I think where this is sort of shows the future. I think in the future, the house is going to have microphones in every room. And you go to any room and you just say, Alexa, no matter where you are, and it goes out and it gives you the answer. This is just like you saw HAL in 2001.
HAL.
And so what's going to happen? You're not even going to use the computer. You know, like it used to be, if I'd want to stream Federal News Radio, I had to open up the laptop and stream it. But now I just go to Alexa, say, Alexa, give me Federal News Radio, and she knows where to get it.
Alexa, what's the recipe for Clams Casino? I'm in the kitchen. I'm under duress here.
Yeah.
Boom, there it is.
And so she'll send you a link for that.
Nice.
She'll send you a link for that. So I've been playing with Alexa. In fact, it took me a long time to prepare the show this morning because I kept talking to Alexa. Because I wonder whether Alexa can hear me in the next. So I was out in the sunroom and she was in the kitchen and I was talking to her. You know, it was basically, you know, two rooms away, and she was like doing whatever I wanted.
I can see problems with Alexa eventually, don't you? Don't
yeah.
you, Doc? Don't you
yeah,
think so?
could be.
Listen, Doc,
but
we got one more stop before there's been so much to do today.
That's
just
right.
One more stop, and what do you want to do when we come back?
We're going to talk about Microsoft's Do Not Track function on their Internet Explorer.
Oh.
They're actually not going to set it by default. They're
really?
No.
All
so
right.
we'll come up with that.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Richard Schertz. Jim Russ is under the weather, and hopefully we'll be back with you next week. Feel better, Jim.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers, here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Now let's talk about the Microsoft Do Not Track function.
I'm taking notes on
because
this one,
Doc. when you're going around the web, surfing the web, mm-hmm. you know, these websites like to track your
click
comings and going. Yeah, they like to track what you're doing. So the so they came out with this function called Do Not Track, and it's on many of the popular browsers. And the Do Not Track flag tells the website and the advertisers on that website that you want to opt out of third-party tracking for advertising purposes. Now, here's the thing. Whether the website listens to that request is up to the website.
Oh.
So they may decide, the heck with your Do Not Track request, we're just going to track you anyway. So this was what the web vendors said. They said, we will honor the Do Not Track function if each of the users has to personally request it. It cannot be set by default by the browser.
Mm-hmm.
The browser has to initially not have it turned on, and the user has to actually go to settings and click Do Not Track. They said, if you have that...
On each individual deal that you're doing?
No, on each browser.
On each browser, okay.
Just, you do it one time per browser.
Okay, got it.
They said, so if the user actually has to click it on the browser, they have to take an action, and if it is not set by default by the browser, then the website said, we'll honor it, because the user has said, we don't want you to track them, and mm-hmm. it's not a default setting. And then what happened when the last version of Internet Explorer came out, they set Do Not Track as a default.
Automatically,
and the websites just went ballistic.
Yeah.
They said, you know, Microsoft, we're not just going to honor this. We don't care if it's set or not. You broke the pact,
right.
So we're going to track people even if Do Not Track is set. So Microsoft said, okay, we made a mistake. So now the next version of Internet Explorer, Do Not Track will not be set by default. Now currently, you know, the browsers like Chrome and others, Chrome and Firefox, they leave it off by default because that's what the vendors want.
Right.
So here's the takeaway message for all of our Tech Talk listeners. Go to each of your browsers and go to the settings and click the Do Not Track option because it's set by default, not to be on. And the website said if Microsoft goes back and plays nice with us, like they were supposed to, then they will honor that request. So that's kind of a little to-do list for anybody there.
I'm doing that as soon as I get home.
Yeah, for every browser.
When you bring up tracking, Doc, everybody seems like they want to track you, whether it's on your iPhone or on your
everybody
your
wants to track everything.
When you get these messages on your iPhone, so-and-so or from whoever saying so-and-so wants to know if they can track or allow your location, I always say no.
Yeah, it depends. Well, it depends what the application is.
Well, obviously, if it's Google, I mean, if it's directional, I get that.
Like if it's like a navigation system, you say, yeah.
I get that, but why would some website want to know where I'm at?
Yeah, the only reason they want it, so they know which local store to
you the...
So they want to know, oh, you're close to Tyson's Corner Mall, so we'll give you specials for Tyson's Corner Mall.
And a lot of people, including me, because I'm a novice here, Doc, mm-hmm. I'm representing the people to your brain here, I'm afraid of anything with Google because I'm afraid they're tracking stuff that
Google
they don't have.
Google tracks everything.
Everything.
So one thing is, Google likes you to log in.
Right.
So like if you're using Chrome, they like you to log in, and then they just track everything.
Everything.
So I tend not to log in.
There's a privacy issue that I have that with Google. And
yeah.
That's why I don't do anything with Google except maybe a Google search for this and that. But no. I'm really skeptical.
They collect it, but everybody's collecting everything.
Well,
essentially, there's really no privacy on the internet.
So you're trying
anymore.
Don't go crazy because that's just the way it's going to be.
It's just going to be that way. So if you don't want something known, just
stay offline.
Pretty much stay offline. Yeah, because even your cell phone, like the cell phone companies, there's a hardware identification number in your cell phone. So even if you're surfing the web with, say, your cell phone, they can track that hardware ID number, and that's called a super cookie.
A super cookie.
Super cookie. And so they can, and so Verizon was caught.
Any trick to disable
So Verizon was caught. No, because there's no way to block it. Now you can go to your Verizon phone and you can set do not track on the phone. But the complaint against Verizon was they still had the super cookie. And they were selling that super cookie information to advertisers. So Verizon, I believe, then finally decided to disable the super cookie. AT&T and T-Mobile had already disabled it. So everybody's trying to track you because that tracking data is worth money.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They sell that tracking data to advertisers, and they get another revenue stream. That's why they love to track it. Now let's talk about the science of dying Easter eggs.
Here we go.
I know you really want to know about
this,
Dave.
I'm loving this fact. Well, it's the season. Here we go.
It's the season, yeah. So most food dyes are acid dyes. These are food dyes that you're used for dying Easter. They're acid dyes. That's because they only work if they are in acidic conditions. That's why they always, when you're dying Easter eggs, they have you put vinegar in the water. You got about a 5% acidic solution of vinegar, and it brings the pH so it's low enough that the dye will actually bind with the eggshell. So let's talk about this thing. What's the ideal pH? pH is the number of how acidic it is, and the lower the pH, the more acidic it is. So like a normal box of food dye says you want to have 1 teaspoon of vinegar for every half cup of water. Now, the question is, could I add more vinegar and get a better color? Because the more vinegar you add, the more acidic it becomes, the darker the color gets. So
right.
You said, well, you know, I'd like really dark colors on my eggs. So does that make sense? Now, the reason that you want to add vinegar, here's the deal. When you add this dye to the water, it's actually the dye that you use for Easter eggs is what they call a phenolic acid. You really don't have to know this when you're dying Easter eggs, Dave.
We're going deep dish here, Doc. I'm keeping up with you. Go ahead.
So here's the deal.
Okay.
As soon as you throw that phenolic acid in the water, the sodium ion just rips off of it, and it's missing a sodium. And once it has a sodium off, it's negatively charged, and it won't stick to the eggshell.
Ooh.
So if you add acid to it, like vinegar, that gives a lot of free protons. Those free protons hook up with the dye, and they become slightly positively charged, and then they attach right to the eggshell.
Problem solved.
So that's why you got to have this acid. So Wired magazine did a test. They said, well, let's add more and more vinegar here, and they discovered that they have pure vinegar. It was a lot darker dye, but the problem was there was such a violent reaction at the surface that there were all these bubbles, and they got this spotty color. So it was a dark dye with all kinds of spots. It looked like it had measles.
Right.
So that really wasn't good. And so they did a lot of experimentation, and they found out if the pH is about 4, it's the perfect balance between bubbles and darkness. And it turns out that's exactly what you get if you follow the directions on the dye thing, you know. So, one teaspoon of vinegar for half a cup of water. Now, some people hate the smell of vinegar.
Yes, they do.
You know, and they say, "How can I do?
How
eggs
do we do that?
How can if?" So it turns out it just has to be acidic. So you could add lemon juice, and you just add enough lemon juice to get a pH of 4.
Scratch the vinegar and do lemon juice.
So you could do lemon juice,
okay.
and you just add enough lemon juice until you adjust it to pH of 4. Pure water's pH of 7. Pure vinegar's a pH of 3, and so the mixture you want to get about a pH of 4. So you just add enough lemon juice to get a pH of 4, and it'll work fine. And you don't have the stinky vinegar smell.
You ask Alexa about this morning.
We'll ask. I know Alexa told me everything. Listen, Mike. Goodness, you know, just going through. Listen, we love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. Also, we want you to go to the Stratford University website, which, of course, would be stratford.edu. Check out the programs and tell them that you heard about those programs on Tech Talk Radio.
Absolutely, Doc. It's been wonderful being with you. My name is David Bird. I've been sitting in for Jim Rust today and last week. Jim has been a little under the weather, and we hope he gets back in the saddle soon. Because my brain's hurting hanging around with you, Doc. I'm telling you, where do you get all this stuff? Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next Saturday right here on Federal News Radio and Tech Talk.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTLP FM HD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Federal News Radio's DoD Wednesday. At 3, DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. At 4, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a smart discussion on the issues and challenges of the defense community. Plus daily DoD updates, mornings and afternoons, Monday through Friday. DoD Wednesday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
This paid commercial.